and now evangelist David Shannon.
We'll open your Bibles to Mark, the 15th chapter. Mark, the 15th chapter. Why is it that a wall leaves us with curiosity? You know, you can have four walls and a sign on those walls that say, "Do not enter. No trespassing." And you kind of stand there and you wonder, what could be on the other side of that wall? You know, probably much of the curiosity back several years ago when we referred to the Iron Curtain was not just because we wanted to know what was there, but we wanted to know what was there that we shouldn't know about. And that's why it was referred to as the Iron Curtain. Truly, the people back in the olden times must have wondered about what is on the other side of that curtain. And the most holy place, what is through the veil? You know, the only ones that could go through that veil was the high priest, and he could only go in there once a year. And that was supposed to be the most foremost presence of God was in that veil. And don't you know that many times while they were sitting around eating supper, one of the little ones say, "Daddy, what's on the other side of that veil?" And then the rest of the supper would be spending time trying to figure out and discuss what is on the other side of that veil. Don't you know that other times the adults would sit around and someone would say, "You know, you may not think it's so, but back a few years ago I saw something move over there." And I'm sure the stories went around. Why? Because there's something about walls. There's something about when we don't know for sure exactly what is on the other side, it leaves us wondering. Read with me, if you will, the great occasion. We've been talking about the cross. Many times we concentrate so much on the cross that we miss one point that is just as important as the cross. Mark the 15th chapter, verse 33. "And when the sixth hour was come..." Now keep in mind, the sixth hour was 12 noon. So we would say today, well, that's the sun straight up. "When the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour," or 3 o'clock. "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' which is being interpreted, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?' And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, they said, 'Behold, he called Elias.' And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, 'Let alone. Let us see whether Elias will come to take him down.' And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." Brethren, it was a great day. It was a day that was so sad if you would have been standing there at the cross. We talked about last week, if you would have been one of the ones sitting there, you would have saw the pain, the shame, the agony. You would have saw so many things that you would not have enjoyed seeing. But I suggest to you this day, it was a great day, because if you would have been standing at the veil, you would have seen it rent from the top to the bottom. Now please notice, this veil did not rent from the bottom to the top, because only man could rip it from the bottom up. Only man could say, "God, I'm going to force my way into you. I've been wanting to get close to you for years and years, and now finally I'm just going to rip the veil and I'm going to get close to you no matter what your rules are." But no, it didn't happen like that. When Jesus died on the cross, God reached down and God ripped that veil as if to say, "Welcome in, mankind. Welcome into the closeness of God." This day, I hope that when we're through studying this passage, that we can realize the great and awesome benefit of being close to God. We can never experience the closeness of God until we take advantage of the cross and the price that was paid there. For the next few minutes, if you will, turn with me to a few passages. Turn to Romans, the 10th chapter. In Romans, the 10th chapter, Paul writes to the Romans with an interesting viewpoint that's very similar to as we're talking about the closeness of God. Romans 10, starting in verse 6, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith he? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, what is the word of faith which we preach?" Paul writes to the Romans and he says, you don't have to say who's going to go up into heaven and tell God that we want to be close to Him. Who's going to go into the deep and find Jesus and say, Jesus, we want to be close to You. He says, you can be close. Right in the Word, you can be close. You can be nigh to God. The choice is yours, in other words, is what Paul says to them. Go back just a few chapters to Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans, the 5th chapter tells us how we can find this closeness. There's only one way, Romans 5, verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Now notice this comparison. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." He said there's no way to be reconciled with God than through the death and the life of Jesus Christ. In the very beginning, God made Adam. Adam and God were close. Think of God just stopping by the garden and visiting. They were close as they could be. Something happened. Something separated them. A separation took place that would be a great separation for many, many years, and that separation was sin. Sin separated God and man. And even once the old law was given, there was not a complete, total unity given to God and man for many, many years. For many, many years, the closest man could get to God was by standing beside the veil. Now think of that. Sometime we might forget the great advantage we have living in the Christian age. But think, if the closest you could get to God was standing by a veil and knowing He was on the other side. Think if the closest you could get to God was talking to a high priest and saying, "Will you make sure and offer up sacrifices for me so me and my family will have those sins rolled forward, so to speak?" Years later, Jesus Christ came. He died. And through His death, the veil was rent open. And now we can have the closeness that could have never been without that perfect sacrifice. A tremendous day. A beautiful day when those standing there saw the inside the temple and they saw the veil rent. Also, if you will, look at Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, brethren, again, if you will, think back in your mind to the mindset that they must have had. The holiest place was a place that no man set foot upon except once a year, and it was only one man. So that is what they were accustomed to. They understood that from the time they were very young. When you go in the temple, you don't go into the most holy. That's only for the high priest. And that's only once a year. And now the Hebrew writer writes to them and he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by how? The blood of Jesus. By a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. He says that's the only way is through the veil. Meaning that when Christ's flesh died upon the cross, physically died upon the cross, the veil was our way into the closeness of God. This day I hope that we realize that we need that closeness, that we must be with God. And I hope not to take anything away from the crucifixion. That is great. It cannot be overemphasized. But let us never emphasize it to the degree that we forget what happened to the veil. You see, if I put all of my emphasis upon the death of Christ and I forget about the veil, what have I done? I've called to memory an occasion, an historical event that is very valuable, but yet I have not taken advantage of its value. You see, the value of the cross is whenever I say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And let me step into the most holy place. Let me have that closeness, that unity with God. But it can only be done through the salvation that Jesus offers. If you will, for the next few moments, let's look at Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, a very powerful chapter to look at when we think about the closeness of God in the old law and new law. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He says, listen, now there were those of you that were considered Gentiles. You were considered without God, without hope. Imagine living where there was a veil, and on the other side of that veil was to be God. But only the Jews were allowed to go even to get close to that veil. And he says, you think back to that time where the Gentiles, it appeared that they had no hope, no salvation. Now with that in mind, he says in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You Gentiles that were afar off, now you can step right through the veil, right into the closeness of God. Now notice this, verse 14, a powerful point that we'll drive on for the rest of the sermon. For He is our peace, who hath made both, who's the both, Jew and Gentile, made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Brethren, this day, let us realize point number one, that we must step through the veil. We must, if we're going to go to heaven, be upon this earth in the closeness of God, because we've obeyed Christ's plan of salvation that He offered by dying on the cross. But point number two, let us realize that when we step through into the veil, into the most holy place, the closeness of God, there are no walls. No walls. There's not a wall built up between me and God. There's not a wall built up between me and you. There's not a wall built up between the Jew and the Gentile. There's not a wall built up between any race of people or any group of people. As a matter of fact, he says here that we are to be one. Notice verse 15 and 16. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. He says now it's not Jew and Gentile, there's one man, the follower of Jesus, and that is to make peace. Now notice that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Christ lived upon this earth. He gave His one body. He says, I am to be the head of the church, and it has one body. Brethren, if you go out and you step into a little hole in the ground and you spring your ankle, what's going to happen? Well, immediately, your other foot is going to say, let me carry that load for you. Then you're probably, with your other foot carrying most of the load, you're going to limp to the house, and your hands are going to say, let me find some ice to put on that. Your eyes are going to say, I'm so sorry. I should have been watching closer. Let me from now on watch for that hole that I just walked you off into. And probably on the way to the house, your hands are going to reach down and they're going to rub that ankle. Brethren, the truth is, when we are one body, we are never tearing each other down. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. We do everything we can to help that member. You know, the other day I jammed my thumb, and I don't know why. I thought about it after. It's kind of funny, kind of stupid looking. You know what I immediately did? Not only did I grab that thumb, but I put it between my knees. Now, what did that help? I don't know, but my knees, they run to the rescue. They said, let me help that thumb out. Maybe I can help it. My other hand rubbed it. My eye said, watch the ball next time. Don't stick the end of your thumb into the ball. Brethren, we're the church. Jesus Christ says, step into the closeness of God and become one body. A body that when one member hurts, the other says, here, rest on me. Let me carry the weight for a while. Another member says, here, let me talk with you. Let me encourage you. Let me watch for you for a little while. I'll baby you a little bit till you get back on your feet. Brethren, anything less than that, and we've stepped out of the most holy place and we've built up walls. Christ is the head of the church. The church consists of members that work together. And if we're not working together, benefiting each other, we cannot be a member of the church that's described in God's Word. Let us read on a couple more verses. Verse 17. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers, no more foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. He says, now the Jews and the Gentiles walking together, there's no wall. You're one house, the household of God. Now notice, we could read on verse 22. This is what happens. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. He says you work together. You build a congregation. You build a church. You build a body that's filled with members that are helping each other, building each other up, never building walls between each other. And he says, and God's going to come and he's going to dwell in that house. He's going to live there. Why? Because it's after his plan. Brethren, the cross was a terrible, terrible day. The cross was the type of occasion that you and I would probably be very much like God. We would literally just turn our eyes from it. Say, I can't stand to see the blood. I can't stand to see a grown man crying. I can't stand to see the pain and the agony. But at the same time, if we would have been standing at the veil, there would have been a cheer. There would have been a yell, a rejoice. Finally, we can come within the closeness of God. Finally, we don't have to rely upon a high priest. Finally, God and man can be united again. It hasn't been that way since Adam. This morning, I beg you, ask yourself, have you ever stepped through the veil? There are many, many that believe in the cross. They believe that Jesus died. They believe that it was a great, great day. But it stops there. This morning, let us realize that that was a great occasion. But if we're not taking advantage of the price that it paid for the ripping of the veil. This morning, let us all desire with all of our heart to step over into the closeness of God. If you have not obeyed God's plan of salvation, why? What could be worth saying, I want to stand at the veil, but I don't want to walk over into the closeness of God? What could be worth more than having the unity of members being for you, not against you? What could be worth more than knowing that at Judgment Day, we're going to hear a judge say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Brethren, this morning, let's give it a long, hard look. And let's realize that we do all want to be inside the veil with the closeness of God. If you've already obeyed the gospel, you've been baptized, but yet somewhere along the way, you've built up a partition. Maybe it's between just one other member. Maybe it's between several others. Maybe it's a partition that's not between other members, but it's between you and God. You've built up some kind of sin. Whatever it is, there are no partitions, no walls built up in God's area of the veil. This morning, make sure that you cleanse your life of those before we leave. We want to help you any way we can. Come as we stand, as we sit.